The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Jefferson.
We do, Mama J. It is the Soul of Jefferson, and we're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading. I'm Terry Raposa, and this is
Janet Chandler.
And we're here broadcasting live at 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM. We are your talk radio, and you can listen to us because we're streaming live worldwide. Hi there in Germany. We know you're there because you sent us money. Anyway, we are...
And all the ships at sea.
It's kcnrradio.com, kcnrradio.com. You can listen in live. And also, if you have a question or a comment, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And 5 minutes after this program is over, we archive. And we've archived every show for the last 15 years. And you can share it, and we have two wonderful guests here today, and I'm just going to let you guys know ahead of time, feel free to share this with anybody and everybody. And we have a special announcement from our producer, and today is an interesting day, isn't it, my friend?
It is. Today is Rededication Day, a national day of jubilee, of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. And this is supposed to officially kick off the 250-year birthday celebration of America. So it starts at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, so it's already going, and it finishes up at 6 p.m. And there's performances, there's a lot of pastors speaking. Of course, the president's going to speak, and then it ends up with about an hour and a half of praise and worship.
That's amazing.
That's happening in D.C. on main stage at 12th Street.
That's right. Great. That's what I was going to ask. That is amazing. Now, can people watch this live? Is it streaming?
It is streaming at freedom250.org. You can see the program. You can watch it now. But I'm assuming they probably have it on, what is it, RES?
TBS?
No. RES. I can't think of the name of it.
RBS, right?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I forget the name of it.
It's online if you look it up, RBS. Here, I'll look it up really quick.
And Janet, you have an announcement too.
Yes. May 16th, yesterday, was Armed Forces Day, a day in which we celebrate all the current service members in all branches of the military. May 30th is the traditional Memorial Day. And that is the day that we celebrate those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. November 11th is Veterans Day, and that's the day we celebrate all those who have served during our history. So 3 days in which we can celebrate those who serve our country in the military.
Well, that sounds great. Anyway, we're going to go off to our first guest here, and our first guest is Darren Hale. He's running for Assembly in District 1, and running against incumbent Heather Hadwick.
Yes, sir.
So, welcome, sir, and it's good to have in a good patriot in here.
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate you guys having me on this morning.
Now, give us just a quick background of who you are, who is Darren Hale, but I want to really get into what it is you're seeking to do if you're elected. Go ahead.
You bet. I started out early on as basically a farm boy, grew up on a 1,000-acre farm and did all the things farming. Then after graduation, entered into the construction industry, 20-plus years in that. 2016, got into the public sector, building inspector, code enforcement, then landed in public works. And then in 2020, during COVID, had kind of a wake-up call and decided to get engaged and get active and be involved in the community. So decided to throw my hat in the ring and started small, sat on several different boards, and then in 24 ran for Anderson City Council and won my seat.
Now, what is it, if you're elected, what is the main three things you really want to do, and how do you plan on doing them? What's the main thing that's on your heart that you believe we need to do first thing?
Well, so my platform is really about protecting the kids and parental rights. And how do we do that in a Democrat supermajority? That's a million-dollar question. In 23, California passed a law that children ages 12 and older, if they want to seek services at school, mental, behavioral, medical, anything like that, and they don't want their parents to know, then by law, the school district cannot inform the parents that their child has access to these services. And that's not okay.
No, it's not okay.
It's not okay at all. And then now we have, what California's pushed really hard is the community school grant. They've put like, I believe $4 billion into the community schools, in districts all over California. And then, Newsom slated to throw another $1 billion into it also. And what that does is it allows schools, and it's specific, it allows schools to set up medical, dental, behavioral, mental services all on school campus. And it's a full welfare system on school campus. And now you couple that with the law that they passed in 23, we got a serious problem here. And there's a whole agenda, Marxist collectivism agenda behind it that's goes all the way up to the UN, right? So, and there's a lot of actors involved in it, a lot of organizations involved in it. So I want to fight that. I want to fight that really hard and find ways to bring that power back to the parents, bring the power back to the people. I do want to leverage that seat, and because I firmly believe that the most powerful positions in America are at your local level. You know, your school boards, your city council, your board of supervisors. And I want to be able to leverage that seat to vet and encourage people to run for their local offices and really take back local control at that level, some good constitutional
guidance. How do you do that with the state having the jurisdiction over that? So are you going to propose something like, okay, that the counties now have jurisdiction over their particular schools in their county?
Well, you know, getting something like that passed in Democrat supermajority is very, very difficult. Now,
if you put it on as an initiative, that would maybe be the way is to
absolutely
put that bill out as an initiative. Go ahead.
Absolutely, and really, I mean, just the notoriety or the authority of the seat, being able to go out and, you know, and endorse candidates, you know, that I've vetted and say, hey, this is a good person. They're going to do good things for your community, and endorse them for office. I think that's going to hold a lot of weight. I want to also, really fight for our infrastructure. We got some serious infrastructure issues in Assembly District 1, from failing sewer lines, water lines, our sewer treatment plants. We got very, very old infrastructure. So, and I want to fight for those dollars, even if I have to go to D.C. to lobby for it. I know Biden passed an infrastructure bill in 2021 or 22, mm-hmm. and California's got, they were slated to get $42 billion, and so far they've only received $35 billion. But I got on Caltrans's, I think it's called buildcalifornia.gov or something like that, and I looked at the work slated in California for this year, and Assembly District 1 is only getting $2 million for road signs.
Wow.
It's ridiculous, and a big bulk of it is going...
$2 million just with an M?
Yeah. 2 million.
Okay, for road signs, do they say bumps ahead, patchwork, missing, approach with caution?
Beware of potholes.
Beware of ditch.
That's what all their signs are going to have to say, because there's nothing good that they could possibly say about our
There's a whole new narrative now, so it'll be wolf crossing.
Oh, you have to be kidding.
No, I am kidding.
No, but but if it does say wolf crossing, you speed up.
Right.
Don't slow down.
But so
speed limit 90.
So out of $1 billion this year, like a big bulk of it is going to this land bridge in Aurora Hills that allows wildlife to cross the freeway. I mean, that's where a big bulk of it's going.
Oh, they're making the overpasses for the wildlife?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's California and their infinite
wisdom.
It
makes life easier for raccoons.
Yeah. Possums.
Yeah. Possum.
Yeah. In 20 years, we'll get the data back on that. Like, oh, well, we had three.
It didn't work.
We had three crossings. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Darren, realistically speaking, is California salvageable? I know you want to get in there and fight for this area, for this district. Is it going to do any good? Is it hopeful? Is there any reason for us to think that we can make a difference, or is it time to look at something new, like a new state?
I am very much in support of a state split. Absolutely. I follow along with the State of Jefferson movement, the New California movement, and now Gallagher's even proposed a state split.
Yeah, that's an interesting dynamic. In fact, I first talked to him about that. Oh, I don't know. We talked maybe about a year ago, and when my wife and I were on the coast during our anniversary of last year, he called me, and we spent a long time on the phone. We talked about different things and got him to come to Shasta County to propose a resolution for state split. But I think you're entirely right. I really like what you said about the schools, and this is the question I have. To even talk about having parental rights, what the hell is that?
Right.
I mean, we have God-given rights to
That's
protect
right.
our children. So,
That's right.
I'm for just dissolving the school system. That's what I'm for. Just dissolve the stupid thing. Or give it all back to the counties to have their jurisdiction. And I want to run this by you. You talked about that. You have, how many counties do you have? 11?
11 counties.
Okay. If you concentrate your efforts on those 11 counties and those boards of supervisors, even though they don't have jurisdiction, but those school boards, and more importantly, the superintendent of schools of each county,
mm-hmm.
if we have good people in the superintendent of schools in each county, then basically, if you're pushing something forward, again, that could go toward an initiative, Article 18, Section 3. We could do an initiative to say, hey, no, we just don't want any more state control over the schools. Over.
Right. No, that's 100% right, and that's kind of my thought pattern there is if we can get back true local control, right? I mean, we're not going to get anything passed in Sacramento,
right.
in
a Democratic, or even out of committee for that matter,
right? Absolutely, yeah. but we do still have power within our own jurisdictions, and if we can get good, sound people into those offices, I think we'd be a force to be reckoned with in Sacramento, a true force.
And it'd be nice to have District 1 or.
It's Whatever. Assembly District 1.
Yeah, it is Assembly District 1. Doing that county by county, because you know there are people out there in all the counties. Well, I said there are people in all the counties, whether they're going to do it or not, or mm-hmm. if they have enough to do it or not, is the question. But if we could do that in the entire district, I think we would be something to be looked at for
right.
what's really going on. How's this happening with the lower population counties? How are they making this work? You know, these rural folk have got it figured out,
mm-hmm.
you think?
Right.
So, yeah, I think that would be a great way to approach it.
To answer your original question, Janet, in its current form with the supermajority, I don't think California is salvageable. But we have to try.
We have to work within the system.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that really was a good model when Doug LaMalfa was an assembly person, he was everywhere. He didn't spend his time in Sacramento. He spent his time in every single county.
Yep.
Every barbecue.
Every barbecue. Every breakfast.
Party.
I mean, I'd get up in the morning and ask him where my socks were, I mean, this guy was everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like, and that's the thing, and I think that's very effective, no matter what people may have thought of his. But when he was in the Assembly and the Senate, every time you turn around, he was there.
Yeah.
And I think that may be, especially with the mama bears and the young people now that are really waking up after COVID, like yourself.
Yeah.
And the parents that are realizing what's going on in the schools, I think that, if elected, you would be, I hope to see a lot more of you than a lot less of you, because 100%. You're not going to do anything down there.
100%. And I, that's one of the things that I've been talking with people about. It's like there are, people are telling me all over the district is once we elect our legislators, we never see them.
Never see them.
Right.
Yeah. And so I'm like, well, let's change that. So I would like to be that hands-on, you know, go to every county every week. Mm-hmm. I mean, not, you know, go pick a county, a town, and go and visit the people there. Let them, you know, talk to me, tell me their concerns, and just be present and, mm-hmm. you know. And
that's what
I'll take a good barbecue, too.
We used to have a state senator that we referred to as, was it Tim Who?
Yeah, Tim.
We never knew him.
Ted Gaines.
Ted Who. That was it. Ted Who. We never saw him. We didn't know who he was. He never showed his face up here.
And then when he did show his face up here, when it was in the downtown mall that one time.
With Dolly.
Yeah, with Dolly. There was this elderly lady saying, who's that guy standing next to Brian?
Yes.
Yeah, he's the senator.
Yeah. I actually saw him for the first time last month. First time ever. First time I've ever seen.
Well, it was a standing joke up here.
Yeah.
It was always sort of a thing here. I mean, I've lived here for over 50 years, and you know, Shasta Lake City, especially in the day, even a few years back, was very much Raider country in football, not 49er country. So Ted Gaines goes up there, and it's, you know, during a time where the Raiders were very popular, and all the people in the Raider outfits, he comes up and dressed in 49er gear, and it was hilarious. I mean, it's like, you talk about being out of touch. Now, another thing I want to bring up, especially for you, that I really enjoy about you, and that is, I think that you're a man of the people. I've seen Heather Havoc once, and that was at a fundraiser for the SCRA. And I mean, I haven't seen her anywhere, and it is, I'm not, this isn't a slam on her work. It's just that if you have 11 counties, you can have great familiarity with those people because we're all kind of like a big family. Go ahead.
Right. Well, she's busy voting with the Democrats, supermajority in Sacramento.
Yeah, you just have to look at her results, and that's exactly what's happening.
That's right.
Yep.
She's reaching across the aisle, which is the Dally way.
I made it very clear that I'm not interested in reaching across the aisle and making friends and making you know, partners for Democrat bills. I'm not interested in it. I can be nice, pleasant, and talk to these people, but when it comes to voting, whether it's on assembly floor or in committees, I'm going to vote for what the people want every single time. I'm not interested in skipping out on votes just to make sure something passes through committee without being being heard. It's all of the games. I'm not interested in the games, right? And if I win, I imagine I'm gonna see some serious adversaries. You know, I'll have some serious adversaries in there. But I've demonstrated that I can take that head on too.
You got plenty of friends, brother.
Yes, I do.
The people will have your back.
Yes,
with a little luck and the right people voting, we might have a good governor.
Yeah. Well, did you hear? I heard this morning. Actually, I heard it yesterday, but then re-heard it again this morning. So Newsom has a break-the-glass scenario. So there's an initiative they're trying to push on the ballot to actually make it – take it away from being the top two to one from each party.
Oh, now that they're looking to lose it,
And that's – I mean, that's the name of their game, right, when they think they're going to lose.
How do they justify the independent party, the constitutional party, the Green Party? How do they – see, the thing is that I think the first thing that will happen, there will be a discrimination bill.
Yeah.
A discrimination lawsuit right there. They'll go to court over discrimination.
Right.
Just like Prop 50 did, except in California it lost. But
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or did it?
Well, yeah, it may not have lost, but
well,
we're still voting for Democrats. Or we have Democrats that are going to be leading us in Congress.
It used to be that every qualified party in California had its own primary, and then all of those candidates ran on the ballot. Yeah. So it isn't just two. It should be all of them from which you can choose.
Right.
But, you know, when the Democrats start losing the game, then they have to start changing the rules.
That's right. And, well, that's Prop 50 for you. I mean, and you know, look what they did there with Prop 50. And it's funny because I actually called it when they started doing that. I'm like, you know, if they actually pass this, watch every state in the union, like,
say, hold my beer and and start messing with theirs. And they did. California got 5 and the rest of the nation got like 14.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh my gosh.
California is all that mattered because we have more seats in the House of Representatives than anybody else by double.
Yep.
And between us and New York, that'll control the Democrats will have that in control. And the last interview we did with Doug LaMalfa, his point was, is that a lot of the Republicans are voting with the Democrats.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that's gotta stop.
So goes the party systems.
Yeah. Yeah.
The parties either bleed Democrat or you bleed Republican, but how about bleeding liberty?
Right. Right. I just standing firm on your core values. It's like, why haven't we sacrificed enough? I mean, don't we have enough laws? Haven't we given enough? And that was that COVID moment for me. It's like, enough's enough. You know,
every time the legislature is in session, your liberty is at risk.
Very true.
Yep.
Very true.
I don't want more laws. I want fewer.
Yes. We should actually go back and remove a bunch
exactly.
of them.
Yeah,
I'd take a referendum, but I mean, yeah. I mean, that'd be great.
Whatever it takes.
We just don't, as a county, you just don't do it. We just don't do it anymore. We keep saying we're we the people, but we don't act like it.
That's the one thing that has been disheartening for me in this journey. It's been very difficult to get good people to run for even the local positions, you know. They're out there.
It's difficult to get people to show up to hear the candidates. That's what's so depressing.
True.
They're so removed from everything that's going on politically. And I am angered at those who say, well, I'm with pride. They say, well, I'm not political. I don't follow that sort of thing. Then you don't deserve freedom.
Yeah, it's, I love that today's rededication day because, you know, politics needs to come back into the church.
Yep.
Yep.
100%.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. 100%. It's the separation of church and state is to keep the government out of church, not the other way around.
Yeah.
So, and I'm pleased to see a lot of pastors, not the masses, but a lot of several different pastors actually from the pulpit now talking about politics and what is godly, what is right, you know.
Yeah, Romans 13 does not tell us to be lawless.
Right.
Don't obey evil.
Right.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Yep.
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 Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego did not obey.
That's right.
Joseph didn't obey. Daniel ate the food he wanted.
Yep. Jesus flipped tables.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
You know, and Paul, I'm a Roman citizen. You can't touch me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that give us we got about 2 minutes left. How can people get a hold of you? And shoot away, brother.
Yeah. So I have a decent website. It's votedarrenhale.com. My name is DarrenHale. So votedarrenhale.com. You can also text or call me, 530-355-7036. And I am pretty prominent on Facebook because our local communities are heavy on Facebook. So Darren Hale is my personal page, and Hale-Assembly District 1, 2026 is my campaign page. And I post daily in Facebook so people can follow along with what I'm doing and where I'm at and where I'm going.
Good.
Well, Darren, thank you, brother. I believe you're a real patriot. And thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for getting out there. I know it's not easy. Now you got to go home and be nice to mama.
Yep, I do.
And anyway, that's been Darren Hale, Assembly District 1.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Terry, for having
me.
Thank you, Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Janet.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
See, here I am. On the road again, there I am, up on the stage, here I go.
Turtle Bay's glowing wild and illuminated Wildlife Lantern Festival is back and better than ever for 2026 at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with larger-than-life displays of plants and animals from around the world.
Including dinosaurs and icons from ancient Egypt.
Jump on the new Turtle Express for a fun ride through the show.
Glowing Wild is May 1st through June 28th, 7 to 10 p.m. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
For me, the best part of my day is when a commercial loan actually closes. The owner of the business, they finally have the cash to go do what they want to do to grow their business. They might have stressed about this, hoping it would all work, and when it all comes together as planned, it's a win-win for everyone. So I like that. I like it when people are happy, like, yes, I got my money, because it can be very stressful.
Plumas Bank. Experienced bankers. Real solutions. Visit plumasbank.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Carrie Grawl. This season marks a new chapter for Organic Pilates, a rebirth of sorts in a new, larger downtown space. Alongside it, we want to introduce you to Harmony, a lifestyle boutique created as a natural extension of how we move and live with intention. We want to invite you in. Harmony and Organic Pilates, now open in downtown Reading. We're located at 1264 California Street in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to see you.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every drive tells a story. Morning commutes, weekend getaways, road trips that stretch for miles. That's why you need Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. At Quick and Clean Car Wash, you'll receive a detailed hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle soft cloth wash, and a personal towel dry brings out a smooth, polished shine. Fast, affordable, starting at only $12. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
You can hate me, try to break me, talk me down and denigrate me. You can try to silence every word, but I will not be leaving quietly. Now, I won't leave, I won't leave.
Sally Lou. Thank you, darling. Had some music there. Here we are back.
Hey, Jefferson. Really quick, I do have the information of where you can watch the rededication. It's on CBN News, and it's the Right Side Broadcast Network.com or RSBN.com. And today, Trump is rededicating the United States to God.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen to that. All right, we are here for the second half of our program at Jefferson State of Mind. If you have a question or a comment for our guest, the number will be 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and we are here with Robin Littell, who is running for Congress for District 2.
Correct.
Hi.
Hi.
So who is Robin Littell, very briefly?
What a wonderful question. I was born and raised in South Dakota. My dad and my grandparents owned a livestock auction. So I'd spend, my parents divorced when I was two. So I'd spend my summer and holidays with my dad as a cowgirl, basically. And then my mom was an ER nurse. So she'd work 12-hour shifts, and I had younger siblings, so I was home alone a lot raising them. And my mom was a really hard worker, single mom most of the time. And so I had a pretty hard childhood, even though I came out amazing on the other side of it. Made me super resilient. But I have I'm the oldest of eight siblings. And I did all the things in high school, cheerleading, 4-H rodeo, just tells you who I am, band, drama, everything I possibly could get involved in, because schools were my safe place as a kid. And a lot of times when my parents were gone, neighbors were there or community was there to help form and shape me and provide safety for me and all that I needed. So out of my childhood, I have a really big heart for youth. I have a really big heart for single moms. I have a really big heart for broken families. And wanting to change the narrative and the story every single place I go because of my past and my history, and not wanting to see generational patterns repeat over and over again and self-destruct. I'm just tired of it. So I've spent my whole life learning how to get untangled from those hurtful things and have victory wherever I go. So that does tie into my running for Congress and the heart behind it and why I was so involved in my community as a young woman. Once I turned 18, because I think of all the hardship, I entered the U.S. Coast Guard. And once I left home, I never went back. I would go visit, but I became a California baby the rest of my life, pretty much. And I'm here to stay and make this home. So went in the Coast Guard, served 4 years. 2 years was in Bodega Bay, and that's important because that's part of my AOR for Congress, Area of Response. The same exact coastal line that I served on in the Coast Guard doing search and rescue as the only female out of 30 men is the same exact region that I was in serving while I was a young woman. And then I got out of the Coast Guard, met and married a Coastie, was married for 15 years, had a very hard marriage. It was not easy. It was a stay-at-home mom and wife, had 4 kids. And then I went through a divorce for biblical reasons, and it broke my heart. All my eggs were in that basket. That was my main dream, my main goal, and it all fell to pieces. So I was like, now what? I moved to Redding, California after that, and the past 10 years I've been raising my kids as a single mom. I got here when my oldest was 12, my youngest was 6, and now my oldest is 21, and my youngest is 16. My son just went in the military a week and a half ago into the United States Air Force. I'm very proud of him. Right. My youngest is graduating a year early, so all my kids are going to be shifting into that next season. And I have the time freedom to start pouring my heart passion into other things. Because I don't want to be selfish with all the things that I've learned in my lifetime. I could just go hide in a corner of the world somewhere and live out the rest of my days happily and not engage in this battle of politics. But if I do that, I have to give an account to God. I have to give an account for how I spend my time on this earth. And the second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. It's not love yourself, and or just take care of you and your own kids and your own house. I have succeeded at that and done that well, but there's so many hurting kids in our community. I have a big heart for them. I had a home group in my home in the past 6 years. I just stopped this last New Year's because they all became adults. But I've had hundreds of kids come through my home after COVID to create a safe space for them, to love them. To all I did was make a meal for them and said, how are you doing? What's a plus and minus of your life? And I'd have 10 to 20 kids in my house every single Monday and for 6 years straight. And now I know a lot of the kids in the community because of that. But there's a lot of social problems in our schools in general. And so that got me involved in, first of all, when I came to Reading, I started a small business, a cleaning company, because I could watch kids really well and clean really well. So I've done that for 9 to 10 years, just on a whim. Started that in 2 weeks really quick, having no experience in business, and I have kept my business going successfully. Tried having employees at one point, but California State made it absolutely impossible for me to expand. I was spending 50% in fees, and I couldn't even get on my feet. And it was just way too complex. So working as a sole proprietor by myself, I keep the most amount of my income, and I still get to provide for my family. But I struggle constantly. So that got on school board a year and a half ago on a whim, because I had this idea from the Lord a long time ago. One day I'd meet the mayor, I'd change my life, and I'd run for Congress. Someone had prayed that over me, and I laughed at them. That's not going to happen. That's funny. And that's exactly what's happened. I met the mayor through, I was taking a class through the policy circle. I had an assignment to meet a local elected official, met Tanessa Audette. She said, told her my little story about Congress one day, and she's like, why don't you try with the school board first? And I said, school board? Maybe in 5 to 10 years. She's like, well, the filing deadline's in 2 days. And I'm like, you want me to leave your office right now and go sign up? And I don't know anything about school board. I know nothing about politics. Like, this isn't really a good idea. But I did it. I went and signed up. Took me an hour. Cost me nothing but my time. And I ended up winning and getting on the school board by a 60%.
Now, which school board is this?
Enterprise Elementary School District.
Go ahead.
And as far as I knew, I was the first one in 20 years that had been elected from the community. They had been appointed. What happens is people get on these boards, there's an empty vacancy, and then the boards within the community will appoint whoever they want. Right. And then you don't really have people from the community coming in and being the accountability. And so I was a wild card. I come into this situation and they're like, who's she? But I just learned the job really well. I learned the finances of the school district. I started asking questions. I'm the first person, as far as I know, in 20 years that's voted no, that's requested things be put on the agenda, which I've been blocked for about 18 months straight. I've had to cite the law. It's been really a struggle. But that propelled me to Congress because change has to happen.
Let me ask you this. It's our previous guest, Darren, also has quite a heart for children in the school system. And in the assembly, there's some jurisdiction there. How in Congress, it seems like that's where your passion is. So how as being a Congress person, how do you affect the schools in local communities? How do you affect the schools and have jurisdiction to affect the state? So, have you looked into that to see what you could do, if you won as far as the schools go and the children? Cause I agree with you. I think that the children are the biggest blessing we have from God. So yeah, I mean, you know, that's gotta be number one. So go ahead.
Yeah, I think the biggest concern as a parent is where our nation's going. Are our children going to have the same America that we had growing up? And the answer right now is no. I talk to so many kids, they don't even want to have kids in this climate. Mm-hmm. I talk to so many kids, they can't even find a job. My own kids, I mean, I've talked to kids that put in hundreds of resumes and they come back defeated. If we don't help this next generation as America and being locally, civically engaged, we are in trouble. So I think we're one generation away from extreme crisis. And so as my generation, it's my responsibility to go and get engaged right now so that my children have the opportunity to have something better. And I'm only one person, obviously. What can one person do? But I can let my life be a role model for change. I can influence and impact. So I know that Congress doesn't necessarily have jurisdiction over the educational system. I know that is the president, the executive branch, and more at a state level. We were able to discuss some of that. So in Congress, I would focus on what I do have jurisdiction over, and I would go hard after those things. But my life would also have an impact and an influence where any legislation that does come in front of me, I can vote. I can vote yes. I can vote no. I can represent us. I can represent the voice of the people at that level. We need people working at all levels of legislation. We need the federal, state, and local working together, unified, to shift change in the same direction. Because we're more of the remnant. We're not, I mean, we're the majority, yes.
Well, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess the only, and I think Janet has a question, but the only question that, yeah, she's got a couple of questions.
Yeah.
But the one question that I have is that, yeah, I mean, see, the thing is that federal is always fighting state. State's always fighting federal about federal trying to take away the jurisdiction of the state. The state's always fighting with the counties because the state is always trying to take away things that they have jurisdiction over the counties. So, I mean, I like that thought process as far as that goes, but it seems to me that, again, it's we the people. I think this whole thing is going to be bottom up. Anyway, Janet, you had a question?
Sure. You have very interestingly said that you support single moms, the youth, community, schools, social problems. Great. Perfect. As far as jurisdiction goes, how can you affect those ideas, those goals from Washington, D.C.?
The same goals that I mentioned are the ones within my jurisdiction for Congress.
You want to do those things, but those are not necessarily coming under the jurisdiction of the federal government in the state. So from Washington, D.C., how can you have an impact on those issues in California?
I think that's just like Darren had talked about. You can influence. You can get to know people. You can endorse people. You can support people. On the state level, on the local level. And that's what I'm talking about. It would take a team and connecting together and unifying across multiple levels to actually bring effective change. So at the federal level, I won't be able to do most of these things, and I understand that. The things that I would be going after at the federal level within my jurisdiction, according to our Constitution, is going to be getting water to farmers because we're having a water crisis right now. And we have to be sustainable and be able to eat. And I come up from a farmer, from a family of farmers and ranchers, and that's most of South Dakota, actually. It's all just fields and prairie and farm. So I have a really big heart to support our food industry and healthy food. Right now, our food is gross. I go in the grocery store, and I can eat maybe 10% of it. It's not healthy. It's not good. So we need to support healthy farms and affordable agricultural industry, but get them water. How are we going to have anything if we don't give them water? Give them water. Next will be forest management. That's something the federal government does have responsibility over because it's their responsibility to be maintaining it. And this will also protect our water reserves by not having all the contaminations of these massive forest fires that are happening. So that would have a double effect. And then third, modernize immigration reform. Make it reasonable, common sense, and humane for people to obtain legal citizenship. When people are going through all these desperate measures, it's because the pathway that we have is just so hard and complex. Like, the bar is so high they can never get to it, you know? So we have to make immigration a lot more simplistic. To me, it needs to be done within 3 to 5 years max, not 10 to 20 years. We need to go back into the legislation. We need to make it possible because we value our immigrants. They're supporting our agriculture as well in California. It's a huge portion of our state. So those are the three things I'd like to go after.
Okay. As soon as you say immigration reform, suddenly the big red flag goes up and I hear amnesty. And is that what you're talking about?
No. I'm sorry. I was thinking of a conversation I was having with a teenager yesterday. I want to treat legal immigrants with respect, care, and consideration. I want to reward law-abiding conduct with efficient paths to legal citizenship. So, and also protect stability of local food supply to keep farms running. We are all here because of immigration. I can look back to my great-great-grandparents, right? Some came from Russia, some came from Germany. All of America has been founded on, we have a wonderful nation. But there needs to be a better pathway. It needs to be updated, modernized. Policy needs to be looked at closely and changed. What we have in place right now is not working. And when something's not working, you need to go back, look at it, and put something in place that will.
Is there something wrong with what we have now, or is the problem we are not following the laws that are already in effect?
Both, most likely. I just know that I've talked to, again, I mean, I haven't said this here yet, but I'm not a career politician. And I am coming from the ground up, from within the community, abiding by my constitutional rights to run for this elected position, pay my filing fees, and be able to put my hat in and say I'm willing to represent our community as someone from within the community in these positions where decisions are being made over us that are impacting us. The people that are in those seats are making choices and policies that I don't think ever impacts their lives, and that bothers me tremendously.
And San Diego is a good point of that. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm coming in as a non-career politician. I do have a big learning curve ahead of me, but I'm very confident that I can pick this up and learn quickly. I need to look at all the immigration reform and have that in front of me to be able to see where the problems are within that. However, everyone I talk to on the ground, some of them that have gotten citizenship waited 10 to 20 years. The process was so complex and hard, and they're wonderful humans. They're friends of mine. I know one that's a pastor. He immigrated from Africa. I know people that are from all over the world that have became United States citizens or people that are here on visas. And as long as they're contributing to America and they're building up with us and they're not here to tear it down or bring in crime or prey upon our children or bring in all the drugs and the problems or the insanity from other nations, I'm fine as long as people are here to make America awesome and better and beautiful and abide by our standards that we have. If they're not willing to come under our laws and abide by them and be law-abiding citizens, then, and if they're criminals, they need to be out of here, immediately exported. So I don't know if that helps, but I'm very pro-strong borders.
You know, I think, the thing is that San Ysidro down in San Diego is the largest point of entry in the world. And when they come in, they come across. I was down there. I was taking a tour on a tour of that. And those people are not, they don't have a sombrero or a burro with them. What they have is they have nice clothes, a new phone given to them by the United States government, given to them by the state of California, places of safe haven given to them by the state of California. You know, I hear what you're saying. And, you know, my grandparents were immigrants. Probably everybody in this room here. The whole point is that as a congressperson, you have the opportunity to enforce Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4, which means you have power in Congress over immigration. And if the states are allowed to do what they want to do, especially in California, sanctuary states, sanctuary cities, if you allow that, that's the main problem, I think. I mean, if you're putting yourself in a position to say that, you know, that the system itself is broken, it should be quicker.
But I'm old enough to remember several presidents back who have done immigration reform, and they keep immigration reforming and reforming, and all it meant was amnesty. The laws are there. We're just not enforcing them.
We're not enforcing them. And, well, but the point is that when you look down there, Janet, in San Diego, they're letting them in. They're giving them a pass. They give them an airline ticket wherever they want to go. This is fact.
And,
even our own share. And
Newsom brags about it.
So, well, that's because the federal government doesn't step in and stop the state.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's the problem. I mean, you can do whatever you want as far as changing anything you want, but as you say, and rightly so, we're not following the law because the jurisdiction falls within the federal government, not the states.
And the House of Representatives should be the most powerful branch of government.
Damn right.
And we want to send someone there who will stand up for those rights.
And say, we're going to change this.
Yes.
I will. I will learn to operate within the jurisdiction. And I actually want to read, because I think, do any of us pick up this Constitution and read it? So Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4 says...
You're preaching to the choir.
I know, but we got listeners that might not have read it. I mean, Terry has challenged me to learn a lot more and start growing in this. So to establish an uniform rule of naturalization.
Amen.
And uniform law on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the United States. But Congress has the jurisdiction and power to establish a uniform rule of naturalization.
The duty, the obligation.
Yeah.
And also, this is a call that we had for a question for you, Robin.
Yes.
Do you support ending the Department of Education?
Yes.
Wow. Did she just answer that thing?
Yes.
Nope.
How great was that?
No hesitation.
Well,
no.
That's it.
All.
There you go. Yeah.
No, I love it.
That's good. We like to get straight answers.
There is so much, crisscrossing jurisdiction. I love that you brought that up to me the other day, because you have to stay in your own lane. And when you're in places of power, position, whatever, you have a certain jurisdiction of responsibility. And I think of just a race. I like to simplify everything. When I'm running in a certain lane, that's my lane to run in. I can't go into your lane. I can't run your race for you. The people, like Darren's going to be doing a different job than I am. We're not going to have the same jobs. Now, we can team up and work together and be one family. And I was trying to formulate opinion going back to the state of Jefferson topic and dividing California. The verse that comes to mind out of the Bible over and over to me that applied to my own marriage and my own divorce: a house divided cannot stand. So when you have division in any house, any relationship that's so extreme, you cannot walk peacefully together.
Right.
And that's what's going on in California.
Right.
And even within the Republican Party, I've been shocked at the divisions that are happening. And yeah. I'm serious. What do you mean? What do you mean Republicans eat their own? Like, what am I stepping into?
They're not even back in their own at this point.
A mentor friend described it like the book of Nehemiah. He was trying to build the wall and do something wonderful, and he had people attacking him from within the camp and outside of the camp. And he just set his mind to do the work, and that's my heart. I feel undeterred, relentless. Something about me that's unique from any other congressional candidate maybe ever is I don't want people's money. I want their vote. If people are going to be foolishly spending our money everywhere they go at those levels, millions and billions of dollars being waste, fraud, and abuse. I'm so opposed to that because I value every dollar I have that I've earned with my own hands. And I am on Medi-Cal. I have received assistance per se, but I'm working hard on the side. I am the right candidate for public assistance in the sense of I'm working as much as I can. I'm providing for my kids. Child support does not cover even a third of what it takes to feed my household. And so I am of the community. I have been in those hard places for a long time. And I'll give the shirt off my back. And I've gotten groceries for so many other single moms. I've helped people out every day of my life, all the time. I don't want people's money because I know everyone's having just as much of a hard time putting food on their table as I am. So I'm not here to take anyone's money. I want them to put me in that position so that I can advocate for us. And right now I'm at $3,600 and I'm keeping under the 5,000 FEC guideline so I don't get fined $1,000 for every mistake I might make as my own treasurer. And it's unheard of. The most that's ever been spent on a congressional race is $250 million in a few months. And the least amount back in the 70s was $149,000 or $47,000. I want to just say I'm going with my faith in God to say, Lord, this nation has your name on it. We can't take his name out. It says, in God we trust on all of our currency, you know, one nation under God. And I'm not saying at all that we're going to take the Constitution or the government and make it a Christian format or a Christian religion as the primary thing because we respect all people in this nation, but it's who I am and it's the values that I have and that I hold just like any other faiths that are out there. So I just want to be able to exercise my constitutional rights as an American citizen, as
your
a mom.
What rights?
Sorry, my God-given rights.
There you go.
Not my constitutional
rights. Guaranteed by the Constitution.
Guaranteed and protected by the Constitution. Yes. We're getting it. We're getting it clarified.
So, yeah, I think that, I think that what we're looking at here is what we've had this morning has been interesting, folks. We've had two young people who have come in here, both of them looking at what's best for their nation, what's looking at best for people, both with the same heart, which is pretty interesting. Yet we have a lot of people that are not even giving us answers. We have a lot of people that... I just hope that we don't go into this election and just vote for people because it's the lesser of two evils. And really, at this point, I think that we've all made the point that there's no saving California. You know, if you think you can save California, you're out of your mind. And
especially with the redistricting.
Especially with the redistricting.
It's over.
Yeah. I want to share one important thing. I met with an elected official from another state, and she was a woman and had never ran before, and I said, why are you trying to run for this position? Well, this guy's done so much damage for years in the state. And she goes, I'm running to be the opposition because this guy has never been opposed. And he's been sitting there doing all this damage and no one has had the courage to oppose him. And that's why I'm running. I'm running just to be the opposition to the status quo. I don't like the way things are and I'm going to lead by example. And I hope everyone else jumps on board because this is not something I can ever do alone.
Well, Robin, how do they find out about you? Do you have a website?
Simple. Litaw is my name, Littau, and it's Litaw everything. LittauForCongress.com, LittauForCongress@gmail.com, and then my Facebook is Litaw for Congress, and I post on there daily as well. That's the primary way to communicate with me.
Is that F-O-R or
F-O-R? F-O-R, yes. F-O-R. Litaw, F-O-R, Congress.
Spell your last name again.
Littau.
Thank you.
No relation, folks. You all know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
No relation. She doesn't sell insurance.
Yes. Thank you.
They call the name in
I'm
Reading.
Not Mike Littau's wife. I'm not his family member, his fourth cousin. We haven't met yet. No affiliation. So he's clarified that on his social media page, and so have I. I think I'll do it again.
Not a common name either.
No, right? No. Random name.
Well, Robin, thank you. It's been a delight, and thank you for what you're doing. I think, again, this has been exciting. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a lot more people coming in who are running for office that are doing it because for the right reasons, I believe.
Good. For different reasons than we have heard in the past.
Amen to that. Yeah. And that's because time has come.
Yeah. For 51.
Let's get her done.
Yeah.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.